Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of American Desis. I am Arjun.
I'm Akash.
First off, I want to apologize that we weren't available for you guys last week for our discussion. I was in New York. I was there for upfronts for the show The Magicians, which finally has been publicly announced that it's going to be a series. I was a little early in announcing that on the podcast, I found out, but that's okay. That's how much I love y'all.
Hey, man.
I'm
going
to give you the inside scoop.
We family. But family finds out.
Yes, sir. But I was just so crazy with upfronts over there, and I didn't expect that. So I apologize that we will make sure that that doesn't happen again. We're going to dive right in because we got two parts of D-Lo to talk about this week.
Let's get it.
I was grateful, I think, was the overwhelming thing I felt upon doing the interviews and then re-listening to the interviews. I just felt so much gratitude to be in the presence of someone that could really share about that community. I didn't know a lot about that community. You know, I'd met a few people very like in passing, but I didn't really get to speak to someone about this in such depth. And so I just felt really grateful for him to kind of open my eyes to this whole other part of humanity. And I really appreciated that. And, you know, we said it a bunch on the podcast, but I just want to reiterate just the amount of compassion that he had to our ignorance and the way that our ignorance was not met with judgment or dismissal or anger, but met with compassion.
It was the perfect way to be proud of who you are without shaming anybody. Like when we would say her, he would say him. You know, like, that's my thing.
Gently.
This is important. But he wouldn't be like him. It would be him. It would be a very gentle, soft, like, hey, man, just a reminder. This is who I am. It was great. It was beautiful.
Because he understood that, you know, this isn't something that everyone is exposed to. And while we can be angry that not everyone is exposed to it yet, we can't fault the people that haven't been exposed to it. You know, that doesn't help us move forward. So that was those are just the two things off the bat that I felt really important about saying.
Yeah, I thought it was great too. Honestly, D-Lo and I have known each other for years, but when I knew him, his gender, I hope I get the terminology right, his gender was still
female. Let's try this.
His gender was still female as far as we knew. So then I saw him years later and he had done the gender reassignment officially.
Gotten the top surgery. Yeah.
And then I wasn't mad at, like I was saying to him, I wasn't mad. I was like, oh, wow, this is a big change for me to adjust to. This was the first trans person I knew. And then we still kept in touch. We still Facebook messaged each other, but we live on opposite coasts. This is my first time seeing him, or I guess my second time seeing him since the surgery. And then doing an interview, I was a little bit nervous, like, you know, I don't really know. This is so new to me. But he was so compassionate about it. Yeah.
Were you uncomfortable before you started? Were you nervous, like, to the point of being uncomfortable? How did you feel?
It was very new to me. I didn't feel a way, but it was very new to me still. Like, it's like I'm uncomfortable in that I don't know this yet. You know? I know of gay people that a guy being gay is, we're in New York. Hey, man, he's gay. This is the first trans person I had a... a friendship with. So, and I haven't really known any other trans people. So it's just like, okay, this is new. I have no ill will, but like, this is new. You know, and it's like, I don't know. You're just doing something that's very new, interacting with a trans person. And he made it so easy to interview. And interviewing is also like, it's not just a conversation. It's talking about it the whole time. And he was just great about it. He made it so easy.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was a little nervous before the interview also, I have to say, because I just didn't know. I was nervous about offending. You know, I was nervous about, like, am I going to say the wrong thing? Am I going to, you know, upset this person? Because I wanted, you know, as you can tell, a big thing about what we feel is respect for the people that we're interviewing. And we want to show them a lot of respect. And I was afraid of inadvertently offending, you know, in that sort of way.
And I think, like, that's why we kept saying, you know, ignorance needs to be met with compassion. Hateful ignorance, no. But just ignorance in that we hadn't been exposed to it, and he made it so easy for us, and he did it with so much compassion. I think that was kind of like a feeling we had during the interview, like, thank you. That was like a gratitude.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I love that I now understand, because I honestly was unclear that transgender, I mean, obviously it's in the title, so maybe this is more reflection of how stupid I am, but transgender... doesn't have anything to do with sexuality, that it is a separate thing.
Right.
And I really came away from that first 20 minutes where we like were going over all the terms of the first interview saying, come on, guys, let's just change the language to make this easier, because this is confusing.
It's just a lot of confusion. There's still I saw some of the Bruce Jenner interview and some of that. I should have just texted D-Lo and been like, listen, man, I need another one. I need a refresher course.
Well, I think that when he used the sock, you know what I mean? Yeah. It started to make more sense. But I understand that, like, you're this assigned gender versus how you, based on what genitalia you have, for lack of a less crude word, is different, can be different than the gender you identify with.
Right.
Which is so, I mean, which is just fascinating to me. And I think that, it made it just seem like, yeah, why would anyone have a problem with this?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Maybe it was just my defense mechanism to getting overwhelmed, but like the difference between queer and all the other, there was just so many terms getting thrown around. I wanted to be like, hey, man, can't we just be friends? listen, I like you. All these terms, it's just a lot. You're a great person. However you identify is great. Let's get it. Let's go.
Yo, it's funny that sometimes you stiff like that, because at the same time, your identity becomes so important as they see as Indian.
But it's also not important for me for other people to. I don't really care what other people do. I think that's a general
right.
Thing
I see. Thing
that
that's
I
your different thing, right? Yeah. It's you hold a strong sense of your identity,
right? And if
but
I'm,
you don't need other people to know the label or
exactly.
care about that,
exactly.
right? I feel a little differently about that at times. I wanted to talk about one thing that you know, D-Lo, successful, well adjusted. Is we were meeting him at a place of acceptance with himself. Things were much better with his parents. You know, he spoke to that. So we were meeting him in a place where there was a lot of joy, there was a lot of energy, there was a lot of enthusiasm.
Right.
And we didn't really feel the darkness that went on. But he did say a few things that really hinted at that
right.
really struck me. And especially when he said two things. He said that if things didn't get, and he said it very jokingly, but there was very truth under that. He said if things did, he thought when he was like 12 or 13, if things
yeah.
didn't get better by the time he was 30, he was going
right.
to have to kill himself.
Right.
I mean, oof. I mean, I get chills just thinking about that, that you could feel that you would in a place where you just felt so much shame and so much, you know, self-hatred that you would think, and the world was against you at such a level that you would need to end your life. I mean, that just and he said that suicide rate in trans people of color is the highest,
yeah.
especially for trans women. And from my understanding, that's male to female transition. That's
right.
what I understand. If I'm wrong, someone please let me know. But you know, I think that I don't want to take anything away from what D-Lo is and the message of hope that he was saying, but I think that, I don't know, maybe it's important to just shed light that there is still this, that this isn't like all, you know, rainbows and butterflies.
For sure.
I think that it's important to just like take a moment to honor that this is still still something that people are struggling with, and that, you know, even more important, I felt really honored that we could provide a space for D-Lo, because D-Lo is an important person to share how it can get better. You know, those It Gets Better videos for sexuality have been really, really helpful. And I think having D-Lo be out in the light and people see, yeah, okay, we can do it. Yeah,
right.
We can be happy.
Yeah.
We can be successful. We can get after our dreams. I mean,
right.
that's so huge. So I hope that
didn't he
you know,
also say though that like he kind of agreed with someone else we interviewed, but we were going to release later, that like the younger generation kind of doesn't care nearly as much. Didn't D-Lo agree with that?
He did say that. He did say that was something that there was a shift going on, and I think that yes. While I don't want to make you know, I guess I don't want to paint it at all that it's rainbow and butterflies, but at the same time, you're right to. I don't want to paint it that it's all, you know, death. And
it ain't what he went through. What he went through was a different ball game.
But it might be.
We
for
barely
some
liked black people back then. I mean,
Yeah, so this is, I mean, that was a, I don't know, it was just something that really struck me, and something we didn't dive too much in with him, but something I think that if people have stories about this, you know, we want to open that space up for you, and we want to open up the space so you can talk about it, because, you know, I mean, I say this, and I'm going to keep saying it, because I think it's something that's so important to me, is about safety, and we want to create, you know, space. Which actually is kind of a crazy segue into this hierarchy thing that he talked about. Right. You know, he was talking about, he moved over to an identity, and we, you know, we spent a fair amount of time on his, you know, his trans identity, but right. We wanted to talk also about his like cultural and ethnic identity.
Right.
And he talked about as a Sri Lankan, how he didn't identify so much with India, especially in the culture over here, because it was so, the hierarchy was North Indian.
Right.
And that he was, and he, again, with a lot of compassion, with no anger, was just like, listen, there's more of them. So they're going to, when they're building an event, it's going to be about more of what they want to see. And I think my response to that is simple. And I said in the podcast, I think, maybe. Where it's just like, yeah, but we have a responsibility. If you're in the hierarchy, right? If you find yourself in a position of power, whether it's because of numbers or because of influence, you have a responsibility to not just look after yourself, but to look after those that don't have power. I mean, that's a strong thing that I feel in life. That's like a strong part of my ethos. But I think that that is something that's important to us. We talk a lot about community building. You know, right. And we talk a lot about Desis. And I don't know how you feel. I'm pretty sure I know how you feel about this, but I guess I should speak for both of us right now. But I think it's our responsibility to create space for every Desi, like all stories, and not just focus on, you know, North Indians or, you know, our Uttar Pradeshi people or whatever it may be. And I think that other South Asian organizations, I'm going to call you out. You need to step your game up and understand that. You need to think beyond. If you're going to use the moniker South Asian, then you have to honor all that it is. Otherwise, just be responsible and say that this is an Indian party. You know what I mean? Be responsible that way. But if you're going to take on the title of Desi, if you're going to take on the title of South Asian, you need to honor all the people that are a part of that. That's my little soapbox moment for the day.
All right, you got that.
Anything to add for that, or you agree?
I pretty much agree. I don't know. I never felt that way. I guess I didn't really know South Indians until I got to college. And I remember thinking, like, they were making fun of Mulus, and I was like, what the fuck is a Mulu? I have no idea what's going on. All I know is this motherfucker mad dark, and that's all I know. And somehow he Christian. But I didn't know. But then once I made friends of whoever, then you learn a lot. And my family circle was just people...
But you're talking about your history. I'm talking about what our responsibility is.
But I'm saying my experience has been like once you made these friends, it was like I learned a lot. We were pretty open about everything. And I don't know. I didn't feel it as much. But it's also easy to say that because I'm North Indian and light skin, killing it.
Let's talk about the term queer and all that it pertains or if it pertains anything. Queer... I understood queer to be a term about sexuality.
Man, I thought that shit was a slur.
You thought it was a slur?
Yeah, I've been corrected by gay friends. You can't say queer. All right.
Really?
Yeah.
But so many people identify as I'm queer, at least in New York, at least in the NYU circles and theater circles that I've been in. And maybe, again, maybe that's a different world. But I didn't know that it was a slur. I don't think it is. I think it's, you know...
I mean, hey, maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was a slur.
Maybe it's like
I'm the only person with that conception either.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe
whatever.
I had not heard that. That's interesting. But I, aside from whether it's a slur or not, I thought it had to do very specifically with sexuality. And it was interesting the way the D-Lo identified it as a form of politic. It was interesting because I felt myself being like, well, wait a minute. I agree with all of the things that you're saying. I mean, queer. Yeah. I think that's
you know,
that's something.
It's so fun to be able to call somebody that and who's, you know, you're okay.
I'm okay with that. I'm wondering, like, and I want to have a follow-up conversation with D-Lo, but based on what he was saying,
within that community of...
well, I don't know. That's what I, and that's what I want to ask. And if people have helpful advice or different takes and interpretations for me, help me know. But I think... that what he was advocating was that queer politic was just like not just focusing queer was not just focusing on same-sex marriage or rights.
No, it's any type of activist, stuff. But I think it's any type of activist within the LGBTQ whatever other letters community. That's how I took it.
Well, see, that's the question, because if it's not,
someone clear that up for us.
Because otherwise, it's just, you know, people that want to help out the world, which right. is definitely me.
Right.
And if that's the case, then hey, what up? I'm queer.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about nobody. So
right. I know you don't. That's where. That's why I love you. okay. It was another thing. We're trying a new thing where we're trying to keep it really focused. So we have a little topic list that we're going down here. And the next topic on my list is about Indian families don't talk about right. shit. That's what I have written here.
Yeah, we don't.
Fuck, see, okay. White people? No, hold on a second. But there's and that's interesting because I don't know whether it's a shift that's happened in my, you know, you're right. Okay. I'm doing a little monologue by myself. This is not helpful. What I was going through was that my relationship with my family has shifted a lot now in the last, I would say, 5 years, where we talk about a lot. We
really?
Talk about, yeah, we, and it's been a process, you know, where we talk about a lot of stuff. And part of it has to do with, you know, stuff that went on with the family that brought us closer. But a lot of it also was just that, like, I want to be able to talk about stuff. Now, there are boundaries for sure. Like, I jokingly call this a white thing, but it feels kind of like a white thing when, like, people talk about sex with their families a lot, or they talk about.
Oh, look at you getting all prude.
What?
Oh, now you can't talk about sex, huh?
No, hold on a second. I could. Oh, is that what you're doing right now? Is that how you're trying to turn this around?
I mean, I just wish you would be more open. You know, I think we as a community, blah, blah, blah.
I think that people should talk about it in spaces they feel comfortable. And I think that our community needs to be better about opening up about that we have sex.
Just not the community at your home. Not your, like, immediate community. Not, like, the most important community in your life.
Is that really your argument right here? Is that because I don't want to talk about my parents?
You ain't shit.
That I can't talk about it with my friends?
Move on with your point. You ain't shit. Move on with your point.
You got nothing. Guys, audience, if you've noticed, when Akash fails at a point, he just starts yelling, you ain't got shit, and move forward.
Do I? I didn't know that. All right, fair enough. Go ahead.
Oh, you threw me, man. That was good tactics. Give me a second. Let me get it back.
All right, well, here's what I think Indian families could talk a little more, but it is a thing. We don't really. We're just not comfortable going to that vulnerable place and, like, being like, hey, this is how I feel. I don't know about your family, but in my family, this is how I feel. Everybody's like, man, shut the fuck up. Nobody cares how you feel.
Really? You know what
I mean? You're allowed to get really upset. You can be loving. Like, I'm very affectionate. Like, I'll kiss my mom on the cheek 100 times a day. But, like, really talking, really, like, personal stuff? Nah.
But why?
I don't know. It's just I think that's a fairly common minority thing, though.
I know it is. It's not just South Asian.
Maybe
I know
it's
that.
Because immigrants, and most of I'm thinking immigrants like from poorer countries, you're so much, we talked about this on another podcast, I think, you're just so concerned with survival that all this other shit is like, what are we talking, like, feelings, what? Well,
yeah.
We're just trying to here, man.
It also seems like, and this is something I struggle with my family, something that I speak about with my parents, have spoken about with my parents a lot, is our self-worth as a form of achievement rather than, like, who we are, right? And so achievement has to do with what are you doing?
Right.
So who cares how you're feeling? What are you doing about it?
Yeah.
And I do, I mean, I also think that I think back to, I mean, I'm theorizing out of my ass right now, so this might be completely wrong, but living in India is harder. There's, it's less, it's, you know, that's real life shit, man. The stakes are higher and the world is tougher and it's like.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So all this other shit gets pushed to the side. Like, we don't need to deal with this right now. That's very secondary concerns.
So here's my question to you, right? If that's something that we're seeing is something, you know, culturally South Asian, right? Mm-hmm. Is it something that you feel we should address?
I think if we're here, I mean, I think if you're in India and you're not rich.
No, but let's talk about the Desi, American Desi people. That's who we're speaking to in general, right? So is that something that we want to address?
Yeah, sure. Communication is important. I think communication is important in any relationship. I mean, you always hear that about like married couples. Communication is everything. I think in any relationship, I read this in a book recently, that we all just see the world from our perspective. And everybody sees the world from his perspective. So you formulate all these theories and feelings, but you don't know what this other person is thinking. You know what I mean? Like if you actually talked and actually communicated, you could see where they're coming from, and that would make everything a lot easier. So yeah, communication in general, I think, is good. How far you want to take it to what you were saying earlier, it's, you know, where are you comfortable with, but don't be afraid to push that a little bit, push those boundaries a little bit.
So how do we... All right, maybe that's just the answer, is like to stop being afraid and push them and start the conversation.
I mean listen, here's a personal anecdote. As my biggest fear on earth is being vulnerable. Just it is. I hate it.
And you're not alone in that. You're not alone. That's quite our generational universal thing, I would say.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, you know, you're just raised a certain way, don't talk about anything, and like men don't whatever. And I think there's something to it, you know what I mean? But I just hate it. But as a comic, it's really hard to be a good comic if you're not willing to be vulnerable. I don't got to talk about my family history, but it's really hard if I'm not willing to be vulnerable in this moment. Like, even if a joke bombs, if I'm not willing to be vulnerable enough to be like, well, that was terrible, then you're not being honest. It's not as funny. So I've had to really work on it, and it's made me – I'm still not where I want to be at all, but it's made it easier to get vulnerable in life. You just learn to get better at it the more you do it. It doesn't become as scary of a thing. It's like anything else. It's like someone who's afraid to interview a trans person. Once I did it, okay, it's easier the next time.
But and you gave yourself permission. I think that's the important thing, is that when we're talking about vulnerability, similar to you as a comedian, as an actor, I mean, I can't do my job if I'm not vulnerable. Like, I can't do my job well.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, there are a lot of bad actors out there. And I think that across the board, pretty similarly, you could say that the reason they're not good is because they're not allowing themselves to be vulnerable. And so... I think that one thing that we practice when we're talking about approaching vulnerability from an acting standpoint, and it's really helped me in life, is to give myself permission.
Right.
And one of the ways to do that is find spaces that are safe to be vulnerable, which is why I think I talk about safety so much. Because if you feel safe with your family or with your friends,
then
you can allow yourself to practice the vulnerability. Like, I'm much more vulnerable with you than I will be with a stranger. And it's because I feel safe with you.
Right.
And I think that's why – because then once we – because the truth is – and my favorite quote, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond belief.
Right.
And once we unlock our light, we unconsciously allow those around us to unlock theirs.
Yeah, to that point – I'm sorry to interrupt you, but to that point –
let me just finish this one thing real quick. Yeah. What allows us to be powerful beyond belief is vulnerability.
Oh, I never think of that. Okay.
That's what I've come to learn. That's my experience. And that's what I've come to learn as an actor and as a man. And not man like gender man, just like a
grown
person,
up,
an adult.
Here's what I was going to say to that point of letting your light shine with vulnerability. My friend circle, a bunch of comics in their early 20s when we met, we didn't want to be vulnerable at all. And then as we got older, we got more comfortable with it. But you also, it's easier to be vulnerable when someone is vulnerable with you first. So taking that first step might be scary, but if it's a real friend, you might need to make that step, and then, or real family, whatever, you might need to take that step and make it easier. And if they don't make it safe for you, I mean, whatever.
You learn something, but you learn something, and you learn something valuable about who that person is to you.
Right.
We got one more thing that we wanted to talk about real quick, and we can try to keep it truncated. Doing whatever makes you happy. That was something that bothered you.
It didn't bother me for D'Lo. For him, in that case, in any case like that, where you feel completely different than who you are, yeah, do what makes you happy there. But as a general point, I don't like the idea, do whatever makes you happy for any person. Because I think, maybe my main problem is this, I think we confuse happiness with pleasure a lot. So, like, do what makes you happy, sure, but what makes me happy would probably be meditating, eating right, praying to a higher power if I believe in one, doing community service. These things will make me a happier person. Doing what gives you pleasure is what we usually say. I'm going to go hook up with every girl that I can because that's what makes me happy. I'm going to go get drunk after a long week of work because that's what makes me happy. No, that's chasing pleasure. And pleasure usually leads to unhappiness. Like, I hate working out. I hate eating right. But the pleasure is to eat junk food all the time. But if I do that and get really fat and lethargic and whatever, I'm a less happy person.
This is a really important distinction. I appreciate what you're saying. Yeah.
No, that's a general thing I'm going to probably harp on a lot. I just don't like that quote always hits me in a little way where it's like, I don't know. If it's actually happiness, and for D-Lo, I think this is actually happiness. Yeah, sure. But I think a lot of times we just take that too far.
Yeah, I think that what I heard from it was do whatever makes you feel good being you.
Correct. Fair.
Good being you, which would be usually along those closer to those lines.
That's happiness, yeah. And that's why I didn't have a problem with D-Lo. D-Lo, good for you. But that's sentence. I just want to, I think we as a society should clarify what happiness is.
Not beautiful. Community. First off, got to start with an apology. Again, this is the day of apologies. Maybe that's the title.
Yeah.
Madhurita Sengupta, you sent us something about a blog. I promised you it would be on a blog, and it was going to be on a blog last Tuesday. I failed you. It will not happen again. We will post that today. I will also say to everyone, that will not happen. You send us material, we will hold it with care, and we will post it when we tell you. So, moving on from that, let's jump into Twitter. Right. We got some things to talk about.
Right.
So, first of all, Shanaz wrote, Miss Shanaz, at Miss Shanaz, no notes this episode was all about listening. Guys, you know we did something right if Shanaz ain't talking to us. Steve, at Person Unknown, great episode. What stood out to me was the term queer for orientation because I thought pansexual would cover that because pan includes all gender IDs and non-binary and bisexual is just attraction to both binary genders, if I'm not mistaken. Gotta be honest, Steve.
Don't know what the fuck just happened.
Don't know what just happened. I understood when we talked about queer as orientation. I think that that was the important thing that D-Lo was making the distinction that queer was not just about orientation, but was about politic. So maybe pansexual still is a term that, you know, would work or
here's
apply.
How bad I am at these terms. I don't even understand what politic is without an S on the end. So politics, I know.
Politic is your, like, I think politic is your ethos, like what your like what your politics are formed from, but like your the politic,
it's like my views,
right?
Yeah.
Or like, and I think deeper than your views, like your I don't want to say ethos, like your ethics is the word I was looking for.
All right, fair enough.
Maybe though, maybe
I don't
wrong.
Really care that much. That's who
all
I
right am. Moving on.
That's my politic.
At Newsy, love the episode with D-Loco Kid. D-Loco Kid gave me better understanding of myself and who I'm attracted to. Particular blend of masculinity, femininity, regardless of sex. Man, that's a beautiful thing that, you know, Nuzi understood something deeper about herself through that episode. And that, I mean, that was an interesting when D-Lo was talking about Anjali, his right. partner, and how Anjali, frankly, higher evolved person than I am. I'm going to put that out there. Understanding masculinity and gender, like masculinity and femininity outside of assigned genitalia and assigned body type. It's what I heard. Maybe I'm wrong, but Anjali was understanding something about an essence of someone, and that's who she was attracted to. That's beautiful. That's just straight beautiful. And I hope I aspire that I can be like that. But I think it's great, Newsy, that I'm glad that D-Local Kid was allowed to helped you have a better understanding of yourself. Then there was a lot of favoriting and shit.
Man, if y'all don't start retweeting this shit.
No, there was retweets. There was retweeting. Okay, Alyssa, I'm just going chronologically, so it's jumping in and out of the
you
episode.
You favorite my tweet, you don't give a fuck about me.
Is that a rule?
I don't know. I just wanted to say it. I just want retweets. I just want our stats better. You know what I mean?
Alyssa was talking something about each generation, what each generation is for me. Okay, Alyssa, here's what I understand. She was having confusion between first generation and second generation. Like, are we first? Are we second? Apparently, there's a debate because DJ Reka said the same thing, that apparently we're second generation. Look. It's very easy to me. If you were born here, you're a first generation South Asian American.
If your parents weren't born here.
Sorry. Yes. Thank you.
Your parents immigrated. If you're the first person born here or the first generation born here, you're first generation. That's our understanding. If we're wrong, who gives a fuck?
That's how we're saying it. Let's standardize our vocabulary. Yeah. So what we mean is, and first generation by itself is kind of irrelevant. It's a first generation South Asian American. So if you put the whole thing in context, it's the first generation South Asian American, because my parents are not South Asian Americans. They're South Asian. They're Indian specifically.
Right.
You know? So that's what I would say to that. And so second generation would be my kids.
Right.
If my kids are born here, which...
Right.
Let's just keep it simple and say that they are. I don't have kids. What am I saying? Okay, let's move on from that. At Person Unknown, Steve. Love part two more. Cool on D-Local Kid for shedding light on the murders of trans women. And those are just the ones reported. I think, again, just highlighting that, you know, that's it's true. A lot of times in these communities, murders and abuse aren't reported. So, props to him for saying that and sharing that with us. I'd love to jump into this one. Are we going? Hold on, I'll come back to that one. The next thing we had was at Aditi Bhargava. First of all, I want to shout out to Aditi because, one, she has my sister's name, so that's what's up. Two, she is saying she was going to be hopefully contributing some content to us. I'm going to take a second right here and say, guys, a lot of you have reached out to us about things that you have to say, and like you've sent emails to us. And our response is always going to be, listen, we can't get to everyone right yet. I mean, ideally, we'll have more money that we can start traveling with this. At this moment, we are limited from that standpoint, and we can only we can hit what we can hit, which is, you know, New York, L.A., a little bit of traveling. If you have thoughts, if you have stuff, write to us. Write a blog. We have this for y'all. Write on the form.
Rather we pay $600 on plane tickets to come give your goofy ass an interview than you just write a blog. Get out of my face. Write a blog.
Okay, I was approaching, you know, we have a good cop, bad cop thing going right now that I wasn't.
We have a lot of interesting things to say. Everybody got interesting things to say. Write the shit.
Anyways, Aditi Bhargava, that is your call to arms. And to everyone.
My frequent flyer miles. Go see you.
She was a shout out to American Daisies for hyping me say my name properly. That's a beautiful thing to me. I'm always going to think that's a beautiful thing. And let's move on. Sarah Myers, props and love to D-Loco Kid for his strength and courage along his journey. I'm happy to see the world progressing towards greater acceptance of people that live alternative lifestyles. This wouldn't be possible without advocates like American Daisies, Loco, and people like you guys that are opening to airing discussions like this one. But she did have a question, though.
Yeah.
She said, also was wondering why you didn't ask D-Local Kid his thoughts on Bruce Jenner, since it's such a big thing right now. Did you not ask on purpose, or was this just an oversight?
We asked before the interview. We interviewed D-Local before the Bruce Jenner thing. Right. Remember, we bank, guys. Remember, we bank all our interviews since we live on different coasts. We'll fly out to each other and do a bunch of interviews at once and put them out once a week. So we did the D-Local interview. When did we do that?
I want to say it was a couple months ago.
Yeah, like 3 months ago, probably.
Yeah, it was a couple months ago. So, but the beautiful thing is that I reached out to D-Loco Kid, and I said, "Hey, D-Lo, what?" Someone asked about, opinion about Bruce Jenner, and he wrote. He said, "I will look for it, but I think there was something I read up on that stated how I felt." He's on the road right now. He said it will send it as soon as he sends that to me. I will post it on our Twitter page so that you could go check out and get his thoughts on that. I'm looking at our time right now. We're doing pretty well time-wise, which is a beautiful thing. Let me jump back to Iman CC. Okay, this is another Twitter thing. Actually, and I didn't even know this was happening, but one of our listeners clued me into this. She seemed to have gone on just like a little Twitter rant about 4 days ago. Beautiful. Go for it. I'm going to read you a few of the things. This is at E-M-A-A-A-N-C, Imanc. Right. Owning up to heritage is hard, especially when you run a risk of missing out on professional and social opportunities because of doing so. Backlash for accepting and enjoying your own background is one of the many factors that allows self-hate to manifest. I hated being the girl that wore a Salma Sitara suit to school on the third day of Eid, because Muslims get no days off on the calendar. I hated being the girl that listened to dancing music in public because I was afraid people could hear it through my headphones. It was not about being considered uncool. I was never cool. It was about being treated less than for being myself. I hated my culture and heritage because in the eyes of my peers, it made me less than. There was more mocking than appreciation slash acceptance. She goes on to say, now I wear my kurtas to school with pride, and I turn up the volume to Urdu, Hindi, and Punjabi folk songs in my earphones on the TTC. Anyone that offers anything less than respect can go step on a Lego.
That's now, the softest all, threat ever.
I've stepped on a Lego, and it hurts like a motherfucker.
Yeah, so man, that ain't that bad. Let me start off by saying, Iman, I'm looking at your Twitter avatar. You're very cute. Slide up in my DMs. you know what I mean? Let's just keep it 100 over here, guys. Oh. You know. this shame, and what I'm wondering is, did she feel shame on her own, or was there racism that made her feel that way? That's just a side question I have. But I think that is kind of, I don't know if it's important or necessary, but if it brings you back around to really loving who you are, I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, but it seemed like what she said. Are you saying that now that she's like, seems like, well, okay, here's what I'm going to say. It seemed like she did love who she was, but then was made to feel badly about it, and then had to go through a whole process to come back to where she already started.
I just see a lot of people, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I see a lot of people who never went through racism. Like, there's a lot of South Asians that I talk to that just never went through racism, and then they assimilate to the point that they kind of lose their identity, because it's like, you know what? This might not really work, but my good friend's dad always tells him this story about, like, I think he uses pigeons and crows. And there's a pigeon who grew up with crows. And the crows, you know, he spent all his time with crows. Crows never made him feel bad for being a pigeon, whatever. So he just thought he was, whatever, pigeon? He thought he was a crow his whole life, right? Then he goes back to the pigeons, and the pigeons one day, the crows make, they're like, no, you're not us. You're a pigeon. You're not a crow. Finally one day they're like, listen, we don't, you know, whatever, you're just not us. Then he goes to the pigeons, and the pigeons are like, nah, man, you can't just come over to us now all of a sudden and want to be a pigeon. You go hang out with your crow friends. And I don't know if that made any sense here. He tells the story much better. But it's just like, you spend so much time with these other people who make you think you're them when you're not. When you try to, like, you try to go back to your people, it's like, well, you lost now.
Okay.
We're going to edit all that out. That made no sense.
No, I think that it did. I'm going to help it make sense, because I think I understood some of what you're saying. But I don't know if that specifically relates to this particular situation. But
what I'm saying is, if you didn't go through that racism, you just kind of forget that you're different.
Do you have to forget that you're different through racism? Without racism. I think that this is someone who was saying that she hated being the girl that what she already wanted to wear. Her clothes to on Eid, on the third day of Eid, right? She wanted to listen to Desi music in public. So I don't know that this was a situation particular, and, you know, we're talking specifically about Imank. I don't know if this was a situation where she didn't know she was a pigeon. She didn't know that she wasn't a pigeon. You know what I mean? If we're taking your analogy. She never got confused that she was a crow. She just wanted to be able to be a pigeon amongst crows. Or amongst crows and pigeons and
I just think as
peacocks.
As you age and, like, these are things that you just kind of let go of. Like, especially if you're not reminded how important it is to be, that you are different. Like, and this is a thing you should embrace. I think it's much easier to lose it as you get older.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree.
For me, I think it was.
I think both of us had the experience that we had that and that. We responded positively from that, but I don't know that we need it. I guess I'm going against something I've said earlier in this podcast. I think we had said this, you know, I think in the Peter interview, we kind of, when we spoke about that a lot, we said, you know, racism is a helpful thing to understanding that we are different. But I think maybe there's a more positive, I feel like what I'm hearing from her, like the self-hate that came about that, right? Is there a way to know that you're different without hating that you're different, right? Because what you're talking about, then what's happening is then the pendulum swings all the way to the other side where it's like, go step on a Lego, go fuck you, right? It becomes a militant thing to then when you have to kind of understand that that's just two sides of the same coin to then when you can come to the ideal situation of, this is who I am, I'm different than you, but that doesn't mean that we are not of the same humanity sort of shit. And that we can still be friends with each other. We can still communicate with each other. But I'm going to hold on to my heritage.
I think that's part of the process, though. I think that's a necessary part of the process also, being overly militant. Like, me being overly militant and really hating white people for a while was part of the process of getting to where I am now.
Right, but it was two sides of the same coin, which was defense, right?
Sure,
it was still coming
from
the same point.
There's an overcorrection on everything. These loud-ass feminists on Jezebel who think they're feminists, I mean, you're just overly militant right now. We will overcorrect to a point where we're not uber-sensitive about everything. We're not blah, blah, blah. This is just a part of the process, I think, without anything.
What I'm advocating, we don't need that to be a part of the process. I think that, I guess, and maybe this is woefully naive and optimistic, I'm advocating for a space where if we create space safety for people, they can explore who they are and acknowledge their differences without feeling shame, without feeling difference, without feeling like they need to go through this process of self-hatred and then hatred to others to then come back to a place of love, right? Because that's what we're saying, is you start off by feeling a certain way. Then the external first is because you don't feel safe. You then go to the point of, I hate myself. But then you start to realize that you don't want to hate yourself, and you start to go to the pendulum swings to like, well, fuck those people that made me hate myself, till the pendulum can hopefully come back to a center place, which is back to where we started. I am who I am, you are who you are, but we can still communicate and we can still relate.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is optimistic, and I also think I'm prouder of it than I would have been if I didn't go through it, even in the end. Even with all the whatever, the obstacles I went through or whatever, I think I'm prouder of it than I would have been without.
Well, let's just, we maybe should explore, and we'll explore in another episode because we're running out of time, whether pride is really a good thing. Too much pride. I mean, pride can be a good thing, but hubris can be a bad thing. It's a tragic flaw. We will leave you with that for the moment. We have another episode dropping on Monday. We're back on our regular schedule of Monday, Friday. We know it's Memorial Day weekend. We want everyone to have a safe and beautiful time. Salute to our troops, for those of you guys that are protecting us. Please be safe. I know that a lot of you are going to be out there having a good time, and you should, and I will be as well. But just be safe. Please don't drink and drive. Just please don't. Call me. Y'all want to call me? I'll come pick you up. Fuck. Yeah. Don't call Akash because he don't give a fuck.
Nah, man, you on that. Just get an Uber.
No.
Get an Uber.
Just get an Uber. Get an Uber, honestly. Real talk. Listen, guys, you know, we're back at it. We want to ask you guys to please keep, you know, we've have 10 ratings. We have a few reviews on our podcast. We'd love it. We'd love for you to keep responding to us.
Hey, real quick, before we do this, plug your, Arjun's got a big week coming up on another passion project. Do that.
So I started a theater company out here, ammunitiontheater.com. And our first, our inaugural event and fundraiser is next Saturday, downtown LA. If for those of you guys in the Southern California region, please come check it out. It's going to be really fun. We're doing 6 short plays. Then we have 3 bands. We have DJ, drinks, raffles, and you get to meet all of us. And it's a beautiful, I'm really excited for it. I hope you guys can come check it out.
Yeah. Okay, so now this is the important part, really. Subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, review the podcast. Don't let us down. You guys were killing it with Indian American right before we switched. Rewrite all those reviews. Do everything you can to help us spread the word. Check the podcast, AmericanDaisiesPodcast.com. Keep tweeting at us. Arjun loves y'all. I think you are right.
It's one of something we've said before. We're only as strong as the community that we're a part of, and you guys have been so great, and we would just like to keep expanding it. That's all we want. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
We'll catch you in a couple of days.
Yeah, bless.